this is Seafood Clear with Daniel Stringer in Paisley, Florida.
Hello.
And Matt Holker here in Maryville, Tennessee, outside of Knoxville.
Hi, everybody.
Today we're going to talk about how to make progress in your studies in the art. You know, how to make sure that you're really learning and learning like you want to be learning and gaining skills and progressing and that kind of thing. And so recently we had a question of the week on Clear's Tai Chi that was about, you know, what is your current focus in your Tai Chi studies? And there were a lot of answers to that question. And it came to my attention that some folks had specific goals and focus on their training and the progress, and some did not. And so my first question, this will be for you two gentlemen that are on the call today with me, is what are you currently working on in your studies?
Me personally, I'm after watching the Clear's Tai Chi roadmap that was very, very well laid out, the key nugget that I got from that was to get real high level, and we're talking the Shen level skills, you really have to own multiple half a dozen, a dozen or more Jins, and not own them in a way that you can check the box off, oh, I know how to spiral, but really understand them fully and have full control over them and all. And so I'm just really trying to work each one to the fullest that I can obtain those skills and then and discover how far the rabbit hole goes kind of thing.
Cool. Matt?
You kind of know. I mean, in a nutshell, I'm focused on the module 3 of the level 2 Tai Chi program for Clear Tai Chi, you know, the Clear Tai Chi online program that I'm getting live from you as we go, but we use the online thing to, you know, to review it and practice, and we're preparing for that test right now. And so working on that module,
yeah,
and there's kind of a lot of
mm-hmm.
pieces. Yeah.
Good deal. Okay. And how do you, for both of you, again, this we'll start with Daniel again. How do you structure your training, your progress, so that you make real gains in your studies for that?
I think the thing I like is something actually Matt said, and sorry if I'm taking what you're going to say, Matt, but something Matt said at one of the workshops that at first I didn't like, but then the more I've thought about it, the more I really love what he said. He said, it's like building a statue and you get one chisel a day. And I used to think, no, because I can really chisel a lot more than once a day. And the more I've studied, the more I'm trying to do things, I realized I just try to take one bite out of something every day and just work on something throughout the day. And I try to rotate throughout the week things that I'm keeping many different qualities going at once. And then what I'm working with my students and stuff. But just like an ant eating an elephant, just one bite at a time, just trying to keep plugging away, because there's so much to Tai Chi and there's so many different levels and layers to this thing that I just keep plugging away at it and following, like what Matt said, I listen to my teacher, obviously Yu Sifu, and just try to do bit by bit what I can.
Sure. Yeah. So continual progress every day. You do something, and then obviously if you had more time and more ability, maybe you work on more than one thing in a day, but every day, even if you just do it for a little bit, that you're doing something. So yeah, I like that. And that way you're making the continual good progress.
Like, and even like at work, if I'm, you know, I cut meat for a living, and so I stand for long hours, and there's different things I can learn to release, and I can work different skills while I'm working. So it becomes running in the background throughout the day as well. So that's a key point, I think.
Cool. Matt?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, obviously that's my kind of philosophy on things too. Daniel, you got that from me, but the one thing that I will add to that is that it is important to make time to maintain other skills and build, you know, along the way. Even though you may have a skill set that you're not really focused on anymore, doesn't mean that it doesn't need a little bit of time and attention along the way. And so having a routine that I do every day, and that routine may change over time, but you know, for a window of time, it's kind of the same stuff that I do every day, that I just make a point to make sure that I get all that stuff in. And I try to do it kind of as much as possible in like a training session, but you know, there's so much to Tai Chi, like you said, Daniel. And I hope everybody kind of out there kind of knows that already, is that it is such a deep, vast art that you really can be thinking about it and working on it all day long. Like, you know, like when you're cutting meat, not that I do that all the time, but Daniel, that's what you do for a living. And so, you know, I do Tai Chi for a living, and you know, this, I do this for a living. So I have that advantage, but it doesn't mean that I'm doing it 24/7. You know, I go out to the grocery store and I go out to, you know, the shopping, you know, I go out shopping, I go out to the mall, I go out to the bookstore, I go, you know, I go out to dinner, I go places and I do things, and I'm not like necessarily thinking and focused about Tai Chi all the time, but I make a point to, you know, when I'm sitting there, am I in good structure? Am I as relaxed as I could be? Am I as aligned as I could be? You know, am I holding any inappropriate tension? And just checking in throughout the day and making sure that I'm, you know, I'm keeping all the good stuff that I've been working on. And so that's the only thing that I'll add.
Cool. I find that I have to choose an item to work or focus on, and that I have to put time and effort into that study and practice, and that I basically choose it. And then there are other things that I go throughout a day that I'm doing that are just things that I've kind of built in over time, and or that I'm standing in line and I'm going, well, okay, I'll do things that are maintenance type things, like maybe doing Wu Qi while I'm standing, and not in a way that's noticeable to anybody, but to where I'm getting that good internal work, that kind of thing, that I'll ting and work on that skill in all kinds of situations, from driving to, so I won't just be in my car looking out the windows, I'll actually feel out as well. I'll make sure that my alignment, my structure are good, that I'm relaxing and releasing while I'm in these kind of things. And yet I do take specific skills that are higher level skill, whatever I'm working on, and I'll take it and really make sure I put dedicated time into that until I've really got it like I want it. And it depends. I tend to become a little bit obsessive sometimes. If I've got something specific I'm working on, I'll do it for literally hours throughout the day, every day, until I feel like until I've really got it going on. Anyways, I work with the material. I work to do it more. I work to do it with more volume. I look to build endurance with it, to actually be able to sustain that skill longer and in more kinds and different kinds of situations, and while I'm doing different things. I work the skills to be able to do them faster. I look at the speed of the movement itself. You know, if I'm moving along with it, certainly on the internal, but externally as well, and let's say I'm moving at this speed, well, can I go double that, 5 times that, 10 times that, 20 times that, 100 times that? You know, the idea that I'm, and then can I make that faster, smoother, quicker? And then the suddenness, so from not doing it to I'm doing it, how much can I reduce that time in terms of if it takes me a quarter of a second or half a second when I'm doing it at first to turn it on, or a couple seconds to turn it on at first, can I reduce that to a second or half a second or a quarter of a second or a tenth of a second or 1/50th or 1/100th of a second? Can I do it, you know, just so instantly that as soon as it crosses my mind that I really want to do that, but obviously that kind of quick for that, that I'm doing it, the suddenness of it. I work on the speed and the volume together. I work on the versatility of it, you know, a functional skill. First my hands, then can I do it from anywhere on my body combined, and then anywhere on my body by itself, and combined with other things, and then combining it with other things. And then I pressure test it. How does it work against, you know, this and that and the other thing, X, Y, Z, faster and stronger and better and more comprehensively and all of that. And so I really work to flesh it out to the point where it's a skill that it either becomes very automatic while I'm doing other things, or and that even if I wanted it, as soon as the thought crosses my mind of like, let's say I wanted to do spiral, and I'm already doing spirals because my body automatically responds to the thought of, hey, I want that. Because it's so built in when it's a skill like that, that's the kind of time and effort and different kinds of work that I put into it. And so I'm gonna let you guys add to anything that you might have for that. Daniel, we'll start with you.
No, I mean, I think you said that really well. And I think that's the, one of the things that I always try to challenge my students is don't, and I really learned this from you. I mean, I got this from my Kung Fu background as well, but the way you articulated it really has changed the way I train, is not to be worried about checking boxes off, like, oh, I've got spirals, but really enjoy the polishing of the art. And really just the discovery, because there's layers to this thing, even with waves. I mean, there's things you can do with waves, and then I might be working on it for 6 months, and I might see you again, and you're like, yeah, well, look, but then feel this like next level of it. And it's like, whoa, I don't think I would have ever even thought of that. And it just keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And I think the mindset of most people, maybe it's a Western mindset, I don't know, is, okay, I know how to do waves. I can do a couple waves, or I can do a couple spirals, or I have some kind of root depth, or I have some kind of E skills, or whatever the thing we're talking about. And they feel like they've checked off the box. And because they test it against people that don't have anything, they feel like they've got this great thing. But the truth of Tai Chi and what you've really put out there is that this is so much more refined, even than sometimes we think is possible. So I just would say that it's absolutely what you're saying, and you just got to keep working and working and working.
Yeah, there's like with math or English, you can do that at a kindergarten level or a first grade level, but you could do it at a fifth or sixth grade level. You could do it at a high school level. You could do it at a college level, you know, like bachelor's degree. You could do it at a master's level. You could do it at a doctorate level. And the goal, like you say, a lot of people, what they do with the skills is they get it going on where they're in grade school, like for kindergarten, first, second, third grade. And because they've got some, you know, they assume that that's the thing, and they don't build it. They don't build, or even if they build it, they maybe end up in the third or fourth grade, and they don't realize to go into junior high and high school and the college and to advanced degree and all of that stuff. And they don't really get the idea that you'll take it that far. And most people that I have encountered that are training that have it the other way, which is most folks, not everybody, but most people, they really have a reaction to the idea that you would take it that much further. And they go, that's kind of extreme. And it's like, no, it's like math or English. Are you going to keep reading? Sam and Spot ran up the hill. I can read. Or, you know, are you going to be reading Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov, or War and Peace by Tolstoy, or A Brave New World by Aldous, are you gonna, or if it's math, you know, instead of 1 + 1 = 2, you know, are you gonna start doing basic algebra? Are you gonna start doing geometry? Are you gonna start doing trigonometry? Are you gonna start doing calculus? Are you gonna start doing differential equations? Are you gonna start doing, and, you know, are you gonna really have the skill, or, you know, are you just, you know, or are you going to be somebody that, you know, hey, I graduated kindergarten, and that's, and I now have the skill. I can add 2 + 2 = 4, you know, anyways.
And now a word from our sponsor.
The internal power that comes at the higher levels of Tai Chi can seem mysterious, but that is mostly because Tai Chi students don't see the big picture yet. They don't even understand what the higher levels of the art are, much less have a plan to get there. Even though the senior masters mostly agree on what the steps are, they mostly don't talk about it. On the TaiChiRoadmap.com, I outline all of the steps of Tai Chi development. Everything is explained so you know what to do, when to do it, and why. This is the complete roadmap to Tai Chi mastery, with an explanation of all the steps from rank beginner to senior master. Again, that is a free course that you can access online. Go to TaiChiRoadmap.com to sign up. That's TaiChiRoadmap.com.
I don't know that I have a lot to add to that. I've got a lot of stories about that. But um, The I guess what I will say is that it is it's surprisingly easy to me how people in the Tai Chi community can deceive themselves. And I'm not trying to throw stones or, you know, point fingers. I'm probably as guilty of it as anybody on some levels, but, you know, I approach it from a martial perspective as much or more as I do from the health perspective. And in a real fight, like if I needed to use it for self-defense against a real fighter, I had better have all of those skills like a lot deeper, a lot better, and a lot better control over them than I do now. If it's really, really on, I'm not saying that I couldn't, you know, pull something in a real fight, but, I'm not where I want to be. And it just consistently surprises me how people, even those who practice push hands and practice it for martial, you know, for more martial uses, and who will say that up and, you know, who will tell you up and down, I do this for martial, you know, I do this for martial only, some of them will say.
Yeah.
And then their skill level is just tiny. And it's like, how do you think that's going to work? And I just don't understand. I can't really relate to that, in a certain sense. But then when you talk about the crowd of Tai Chiers that are doing it more for health, than for martial, it seems to be even easier for them to be fantasizing a lot about what's going on and not really have any juice and not really have any internal power to show for it, because they don't think they need it. That's not like the thing that they've been told they need, even though that really is the mechanism that makes the healthy stuff work. They just don't have a lot of it, and they don't have a lot of incentive to get more for whatever reason. Even people that we've seen who get, you know, old and sick and really unhealthy and like on the verge of death, like, yeah, you should probably improve your Tai Chi a little bit and get that stuff that you've been training going on so you can get the benefits
Get actual good structure. Get actual relaxation, like internal relax release. Lose the tension. Actually understand and breathe with your whole body breathing and good zhongding all the way through. Yeah, things that are really going to add to your health directly. And if you've got that at the first grade level, it's better than not having it at all, but it's not at a level where it's doing profound things yet. Same thing with like rooting. If your root is just that far below the ground, okay, you've got some rooting. It'll give you a better advantage than if you didn't have any, but it's first grade rooting. It's not going to make that difference. Rooting it at the high school level is going to have noticeable heaviness to it when you touch or hit something. And at the college level, it becomes devastatingly scary. And what you can do with it. And if you had to defend yourself with that, somebody throws a punch. I've had people that I've taught do this, and you break their arm with that first contact because of the amount of weight. And Tai Chi at the master level is famous for being able to do things like this. But you have to have those skill sets to do it. So, yes.
Yeah. And I think, Daniel, you hit on something earlier, and Steve, who you talked about this as well, is that I think that the people who are really trying to kind of tick off boxes and kind of get to the end of their Tai Chi journey are the ones that always, they're the ones that always fall short, and they're always going to. There isn't an end. And if you can wrap your head around that early in your training and really seek to, pursue it to the highest level you can get and reasonably as quickly as you can get there, that's how you get those master level skills. It is not by checking off boxes and pretending that
you need to check off boxes in the art, but you also, just because you check that box, it means I now have the basic requirements. I need to go to take that to another level. And then once you check it there, then I now have it at that level so I can take it to another level. And okay, I've got some speed going on with that. Now I'm going to get some volume going on with that. Now I'm going to get some suddenness going on with that. Now I'm going to get some, and on and on. And then those things together and all this. Yes. Yeah. And then you check your boxes that way. And then can I do it under these circumstances against pressure like this or pressure like that, or while I'm doing whatever it is that I might be doing? Yeah. And then you keep doing that. And then when you add, it's with an idea that there's a full, complete process that you do with that thing. And once you've done that kind of thing with the 36 or so primary jings, once you've done it with somewhere around a dozen, 10 to a dozen jings, and really gone through that process, your ability to do it with the new ones goes a lot faster, A, in terms of your study, and B, your skill sets are most of the students I've got who put in that kind of work already, they go to other schools, and we've got people going, oh, you're a master. And they're like, I'm not even close to that yet. But they're a master compared to what other folks have going on. And so I want to make sure that I'm providing for you the education to help you to do that. That doesn't mean you have to do that. That's your choice. But I want to make sure that we've done what we can to help you to understand how and the path and the way to do that. So very good. Okay. Unless you guys got, if you guys, anything else, and if not, then we're going to wrap it up here, but I at least wanted to get that much across today. And Daniel, anything specific or otherwise that you wanted to get into or talk about regarding any of this or other?
I mean, I'm sure we could, like Matt said, there's a million stories. And I think one of my favorites is a person who's pretty well respected in some circles and less respected in other circles, but well known for Tai Chi. I remember they came at Sifu Clear with a spiraling force, and he looked like he grabbed a electric fence because Sifu just like ate that spiral and tossed it back at him. And it was the clearest picture to me of just, you can have a thimble full of anything, and if someone's got an ocean, you're just not going to get anywhere. So,
and you had a direct eye view of that when that happened. Is that correct?
Say again?
You had a direct eye view of that when that occurred?
Right, I was standing right there. It was the first interaction with that person.
And so internally, obviously, I knew what was going on. He probably didn't realize what had happened. That was my take on it at the time, is that he was just like, I don't understand. What was your take on it? What did it actually visually? Because he had some spiraling skill. It was just, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade spiraling skill. And so I just literally took it all in from him immediately and spit it back at him in about, you know, 5 to 10 times stronger. It could have done it a lot stronger, but it would have injured him, and I didn't need to do that. What did that look like? And I did it internally, which means for me, it didn't necessarily show on the outside. He was moving a bit more externally, although he had a little bit of internal going on with it. What did it actually look like to the eye?
To the eye, the only thing I can describe it, it looked like he grabbed a hold of an electric fence and he just, his whole body like locked up and then he got tossed out. So,
and it was it was pretty instantly, or did it take a second? Because I was trying to be, you know, patient and kind about it with him.
I mean, there might have been like him moving a little bit, but then all, like, once whatever happened, his whole body was locked and then he got tossed, and it didn't seem very which is why I say like it grabbing a fence, because it didn't really look like you did anything from the outside.
I just looked like I was standing there.
Right. And then all of a sudden he looks like he's holding onto an electric fence. His whole body kind of jolted and locked up. And then he just kind of went back 5 or 10 feet or however far he fell. So,
yeah. Cool. Matt, anything about any of this that catches, or any specific story that kind of stands out to you, something you've seen or experienced or saw somebody else doing or trying to do? Anything that caught your eye, or
you know, like I said, I have loads of stories. The one that leaps to mind immediately is I think it was the year after what Daniel is talking about, when we were back at that same event, and we weren't actually at the Tai Chi Gala at the time. We were at a thing in New York City at a meetup that's Push Hands meetup. yeah, you already know where I'm going with this. There's a particularly, you know, a guy who talks about being much more martially oriented and is one of those guys who insists that what he does is all about the martial. And he has some nice, interesting stuff that he's doing some of the times, but a lot of times he's doing things that are a little odd. And he was doing one of those, and when he was interacting with Sifu and being very insistent that it was working. And so Sifu clear proved the point that it was not by, taking his hands, like sticky hand style, like sticking to his arms and using his
sticking in hands, push hands where you're here. Yeah.
Yeah, and he literally
say it again. You faded out when you said that. You're fading in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you did the sticky hands, push hands thing with him, and you used his own hands, his own arms to basically pummel him, to kind of smack
him. He'd been being a jerk to people in the room with this, and so he wanted to be super martial with me. So I literally, in the process, instead of using his arms to push him out, I used his arms and did it where I was switching them around. And literally, from my side, it looked like this, but his arms were attached to that and they were smacking the living daylights out of him. And I did that like at about a da 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 speed. And then he wanted to go faster, so I did it faster. I mean, he literally said, can we do that faster? And I was like, sure. Bam, 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 and got it to where it was going, where I knew if it was any harder, he was going to start hitting the floor. And then he wanted to speed it up again. And I was like, look, at that point, I'd probably cleared 100 times of smacking him with his own hands, him unable to stop it. And I was like, I'm at like a low cruising speed right now. I can 10 times this. I can tell you can't. And so, no, I'm not going to do that. And he was like, no, I really want to do that. And I was like, I'm walking away from you now because I don't want to be responsible for hurting you like that. And that's it.
And it was quite silly.
What's that?
It was quite silly. I said it was quite silly. The guy's reaction was.
I'm saying it's just stupidity.
It's bullshit.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And let this be a lesson to you. If your Tai Chi is not correct slow, it is not ready to be sped up. That's like a good rule for your Tai Chi.
Well, I appreciate that you're normally doing your Tai Chi at 5 miles an hour, okay? And then you want to check it out at 10 and you want to check it out at 20 and you're finding that there's gaps or problems or holes in there at 10 and 20. And so maybe you can go back to 5 and correct. And maybe even go up to 25 or 30. But if you're having problems at those speeds and none of that's working for you, if the other person looks like they're struggling and you can still do what you're doing faster, you might check that out a little bit, you know, at least step on the gas some and go up to 40 miles an hour or something like this. I'm just making up numbers here. But I don't want to jump to 100 under those circumstances, especially if the person at this fast, whatever speed you've gotten up to, let's say you started at 5, you're now at 40, and it's not going any different at all, like the other person not breaking a sweat. I don't want to go, hey, let's jump up to 80 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. That's stupidity right there. That's going to get you hurt because you're already struggling and it's not working for you. Speed is not, going. And if you were staying at 5, you could go, well, maybe if we did this at a speed where we're really moving along, where we could, like 5 times that, 10 times that, even maybe. And then if things change up, okay, then what's going on? Maybe there's something there to see it at a little faster. But if you 5 to 10 times that and not anything changed, you got to think about it and do some work on what you're doing there. Because otherwise you're either hurt, even on the health side, if you picked up on something, you don't want to go, well, I'll do it faster and fix it. No, you'll do it faster and hurt yourself is what you'll do. And in this case, he had gone up to a speed where I could tell, because as we went faster, it just got worse for him because he was that much more off. And I was not looking any different other than I was instead of I'd like to have obliged him on the speed, but it wasn't worth it to me to hurt him to find that out for him to find that out and for me to show him. It just wasn't worth it. And I thought it was indicative of how stupid the situation was for him to even want that. But anyways, enough about that. Like you said, there's all kinds of different situations and stuff. And hopefully when we meet you, we're not having any kind of interactions like those. It's I want you to get the art and I want you to be able to grow in it. And if you follow the kind of advice we're talking about here, and certainly the Tai Chi roadmap is going to have more that's going to help you to understand things at levels and what you do for that. And I am happy to put hands on with you. And so are my other guys here and the other guys that aren't on the call today. We love to put hands on and love to work with you. And we'll help you to get insight into that progress on specific skills. If there's anything you want to know about, well, how do I take this skill or that skill and do that? Put it in the comments where we posted this, and we'll certainly try to get back to you directly and probably publicly, you know, in the forum or in the group for that. If you've got any other questions about anything we've talked about today, same thing. And we hope this helps you in your training, and thanks for watching, and we'll do more next time. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Daniel.
No problem. Yeah, thank
you. You guys have a great day. You have a great day out there. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
The internal power that comes at the higher levels of Tai Chi can seem mysterious, but that is mostly because Tai Chi students don't see the big picture yet. They don't even understand what the higher levels of the art are, much less have a plan to get there. Even though the senior masters mostly agree on what the steps are, they mostly don't talk about it. On the TaiChiRoadmap.com, I outline all of the steps of Tai Chi development. Everything is explained so you know what to do, when to do it, and why. This is the complete roadmap to Tai Chi mastery with an explanation of all the steps from rank beginner to senior master. Again, that is a free course that you can access online. Go to TaiChiRoadmap.com to sign up. That's TaiChiRoadmap.com.